Time for our trip columnist to weigh in.
This is a man that needs no introduction.
Who is this guy?
The most knowledgeable columnist in the city of Pittsburgh.
Some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey.
He goes by only one name.
Hotter than Bond, cooler than Bullet. Shaft.
No, it's not Shaft. It's Rossi. And he's here right now on Trip Live Radio.
There's the West Virginia fight song. Frank Walker Law is a big WVU grad as well. Criminal defense attorney, frankwalkerlaw.com. Our player of the game, Rossi, was split among the defense. I picked James Harrison. Tim, you had Mike Mitchell, and then you switched it to somebody else that you like better.
Cam Hayward.
Cam Hayward. And Guy, who'd you go with for defensive player in the game?
Harrison.
Oh, Harrison. Oh, you did agree with me. Rossi, you with us? Look, we lost Rob.
I can hear him.
He went to add another touchdown to the Baylor total.
There we go. All right. Talk amongst yourselves for a second. Let me get Rob back on the line.
So this is what happens when Taylor's not here.
Should we do live dialing? Let's do the live dialing. Can we get a little live dialing music?
No, don't do that because then Rob is going to answer. He's going to say something snarky that's not radio appropriate.
Everything's radio appropriate. We're web. Oh, sorry, I forget that.
I listened to the new sound of 13Q.
Is that bad of me that I'm letting my personal opinions reflect my important vote, like the Frank Walker Law Defensive Player of the Game? My biases against Mike Mitchell are coming into play here?
Yes, I think that you're getting very opinionated about this team.
Hi, Rob.
What's up, Rob? You're live on the air.
Hey.
What happened?
I don't know. I heard you guys talking about James Harrison praising God, and the next thing I know, I was off the phone, so I just took it as a sign.
Somebody up there is trying to tell me something?
God has blessed James Harrison, and apparently he's forsaken Sidney Crosby.
I will say this. You know, last night it occurred to me that Sidney Crosby can't score. Landry Jones is the Steelers' quarterback, and the Colts are trying to punt with three guys on the line of scrimmage. So
two guys.
Yeah, two guys. I'm sorry, two guys and a receiver taking a snap. So yeah, it's damnedest thing I've ever seen. And you know,
and the Trip Sports section has Sky High as a headline today, Rob. what do you think of our headline today?
Was that intentional, Rob, or is that just an accident?
You know, guys, God has blessed me with the ability to offer no comments. So I'll do that.
Tremendous. All right. You wrote about the defense, though, today. Rossi, what are you seeing here? Is this a total legitimate team, or should we pump the brakes a little?
Well, I thought going into the season, if the defense was capable of not being awful, that this was the type of team, if the offense was healthy, that could make a real run. And I think the defense has been more than not awful. I think we need to come to grips with the notion that they're going to be a dominant defense. But look, when they had those great defenses for that decade run under LeBeau, they were number one in yardage allowed or rushing yards and, up there in passing yards. They weren't as good to me at doing what they've done now, which is prevent teams from scoring a lot of points when the teams are driving on them. You would still see teams do that to the Steelers. I'm not saying this is that defense, but they've kind of reversed that a bit. They're giving up a lot of yards, but they're making teams one-dimensional, so I don't necessarily know that you can use the passing yardage as a great indicator of how they're playing. They seem to be getting better. They are making some plays. They are causing some turnovers. They're getting more pressure on the quarterback, and they're not allowing a lot of points. If they can allow 18 points a game, and this is going to sound crazy because I know what people are going to think about this, but if they're an 18 points a game defense, I think they can get it. I think they're the type of team that can get to a Super Bowl. I really do, with Ben Roethlisberger healthy, of course.
How much will they? Things have changed so much since August. This looked like a team with a lot of defensive question marks and a potential record-setting offense. Now you lose another in 1 week. You find out Pouncey's not coming back, and Beecham's out for the year.
Yeah.
What long-term effect is that going to have? And you miss one out of five, maybe you can plug the hole. You miss two out of five, maybe it starts having a bigger effect cumulatively.
Well, yeah, obviously. I think we don't know because we haven't seen it. I didn't notice Villanova waiver yesterday, so I think that you take that as a good sign, right?
Yeah.
And
he's hard not to notice.
I don't mean this as a discredit to Marquise Pouncey. I think the center position, I think the center position is one in the NFL, to me anyway. I notice if you're really bad or if you're outstanding. I've noticed when the Steelers have had bad centers, which hasn't been often, and I've noticed when they've had outstanding ones, Dermoni Doss and Marquise Pouncey. The fact that I haven't noticed a whole lot the center position this year tells me that they're getting adequate play there, and I think they have been good running the ball, which is, to me, really where you want your center to be adept at.
Well, Rob, you mentioned the 18 points per game thing, making them a Super Bowl team. That came up as a topic in the show on the post game yesterday. Charlie launched into this comparison to the 2010 team, and he said,
"Oh, no."
Well, yeah, he did. He did. But you know, the premise was the same as what you're advancing, which is that defense carried them for the first 9 weeks. That defense was excellent through Ben's suspension. Was good for a couple games after that as Ben was working his way back in. Then it started to wobble a little bit, and it became more about Roethlisberger again. But his premise was similar to yours, which is that, you know, if the defense continues to be good, then they could find their way into the tournament, and once you're in the playoffs, it's anybody's guess. And I sort of amplified that by saying, well, what also happened in 2010, nobody wants to remember this, is they got a little help. They didn't have to go to Foxborough. You know, they got the AFC Championship game at home, so that would also have to be a wild card to make that analogy come true if they were to make the Super Bowl. I think somebody else is going to need to give them an assist and upset the Patriots out of nowhere, like the Jets did.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Look, I was a lot more encouraged about the Steelers' performance in Foxborough than a lot of people. They were playing a game where I didn't think they had a whole lot of a chance to be competitive, and they left some opportunities out there. They were playing with a secondary that had literally been put together that Tuesday, and they were bad early, but I thought, you know, late in that game, I thought the offense missed opportunities to get them back. If they went to Foxborough with Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, and Antonio Brown, I wouldn't say they can't win that game.
Rob, you know what? Let me tell you, let me just kind of build off of that. It might be Bryant more than anything that's the wild card there in your comparison to this game that they've already played. It could be Bryant, not even Brown or Bell, that I think might be
the difference. Well, you're right. I mean, and I forget that, and that's a great point, Tim, because he adds an element that makes their offense, again, when Roethlisberger's there, we haven't seen it yet, but how often last year did we see when those guys were all together? Remember, that was the first year those guys were all together, but those four, how often did we see teams just not have any idea how to deal with them? And I think, look, everybody will talk about the Patriots, and deservedly so, they're undefeated. I'm surprised more people aren't talking about the Cincinnati Bengals, because I actually think, across the board, they have more talent than anybody in the league, except the quarterback position is obviously a question mark there, but he's playing pretty well. But my point is, I don't think the Steelers are a team that anybody would want to see if they have those four offensive players healthy, because they can put up a lot of points, and they can put them up in a hurry, and they can also control the clock, which is very scary if you're a team like the Patriots or the Bengals, because you know that they have some veterans on this team that have been there and done that.
Rob Rossi, our guest Trip columnist, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on Trip Live Radio. You tweeted yesterday after Antonio Brown was squawking on the field, Rossi, that he was directing that, at least in part, to officials, right? Can you expand on that?
Well, somebody told me that. Look, I thought when I first saw it that he was yelling at Landry Jones, and I was disgusted by it. Then somebody, I don't know if it was Chris Harlan, who was with me, Trip writer Chris Harlan, but I think it might have been Chris who said he thought Brown was also jawing at the referee. And I didn't see that, so I just tweeted that out there to say, look, somebody else saw it this way.
Boy, so, I didn't see that.
Yeah, but I didn't know, and I didn't talk to AB. I didn't even see him in the room. So, it was tough to ask. The way Mike Tomlin reacted made me think certainly he thought that Antonio was talking to the official, or excuse me, to his teammate, and not the official. So, look, this hasn't been a good look for Antonio Brown, and I thought Tomlin's statement yesterday was pretty damning for a guy that, you know, went into this summer talking about a new, or certainly it was talked about a new contract for him. You're going to go be that bold and want your contract renegotiated and then have them give you more money when they restructure some things. To me, you got to be a better teammate than he's been, and I get that he's frustrated, but we all get frustrated. We all think work happened that we don't love. Got to be better than he's been, because the look has been bad.
Could it be disruptive for the team, or will they just let it go? I mean, what can they do about it?
I don't think so. I think one thing we're seeing about these Steelers guys is that they are a team that maybe in a little bit of the mold of the older teams, maybe the early Ben teams, where they're a real good group together. They're a real good group together. I think there's some good leadership on this side. I think if they didn't, this might have become a problem, but it hasn't. And I know if I'm AB, I wouldn't want to get near James Harrison if I'm going to start making things about me. And I certainly wouldn't want to be near Joey Porter. I might not want to be near Cameron Haywood either. So there's a lot of guys there I think keep him in line. I mean, at the end of the day, get open and catch more passes. Maybe get open more and you get more passes. I don't know.
How unfavorable a light is shown on Dick LeBeau right now with the success this defense is having?
I mean, to me, Dick LeBeau is one of the great coaches in the history of Pittsburgh sports. To me, Dick LeBeau should be remembered for the best of his time with the Steelers, not the end. If we were going to remember everybody by their final days, then we would remember Mario Lemieux as a guy who couldn't play. You know, we would remember how many guys as guys that just hung on too long and weren't what they were at their peak. We might be remembering that about the Penguins. We should always remember them at their height and when they're at their best. But right now, I think it's pretty clear Mike Tomlin made the right call. Mike Tomlin absolutely made the right call. And you've got to give Mike Tomlin credit for that. Did he handle it the right way? I don't know. Wasn't in the room, wasn't in those conversations. He made the right call.
I like that statement. Guy, we were talking about this a week ago when we got a nasty email about Max Talbot. And we were talking about the possibility of him coming back, and you said
called him a clown.
Yeah, called him a clown. Like, God, wow. How soon do we forget the heroes in this town of our sports?
I mean, anybody that calls Max Talbot a clown needs to seriously go look in the mirror. I mean, that guy scored two biggest goals that anybody not named Lemieux or Yager has scored in the history of the franchise.
They were Bill Mazeroski, Franco Harris performances. Is important, you know. I agree.
Yeah. All right, Rossi. Big week. We got Yager coming back tomorrow, so Yager watch is back on.
Yeah, Yager watch. I wonder if we're going to watch Yager end this tenure for the Penguins coach. I wrote about it Sunday, guys. I have not liked anything I've seen from them in person. I don't like the look. I don't like the feel. I don't like the smell. This looks like a team that is lost, and it's like a team that doesn't have a lot of answers. It looks like a team where many of the stars, including the captain, are not the players they need to be right now. I think these are monumental two games. I wrote it Sunday. I believe it. I don't know if it would be Mike Johnson's fault, but if they have by Thursday night the same point total they have going into tomorrow, they need to make a coaching change because this season will get away from them. 2-3 is better than 0-3, but the way the Penguins have got there has not looked good.
It's hard to argue that. I was there Saturday night, Rossi, watching it, and it was hanging on. It was, you know, yeah, Malkin
took two goals in 39 seconds. All right, here's our blow-up night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then nothing.
Now, maybe Dupuis coming back will be a big deal, bigger than we think or fair. I don't know. Like
I don't know, guys. I do wonder if what's wrong with the Penguins, to be fair. You know, here's the thing. I know I'm hard on them, and I don't take joy because it's played out a little bit the way I've seen it playing out, but they have a 10% power play since about December 1st. They haven't really learned how to win games under this coach when the power play isn't dominant. The power play is a tire fire wrapped in a, you know, Kardashian show right now. And the bottom line is, they look old, they look slow, and they look stale. It's been a long time.
Who are you, Warren Sapp?
Yeah. Stale, especially. Yeah, stale
hey guys,
describes everything about
this,
the organization.
Let me ask you this. When you go around, like I did the other day, and start asking veterans about this team, and they use words like stale and tense and quick to panic, and they're not mad if you use them when you talk about them or you write about them. How alarming is that?
Maybe they want the coach fired.
Well, if that's the case, then who are they going to get? Because I got to be honest, I don't know how many more heads Sidney Crosby needs above his locker stall.
You talking about line mates or coaches or both?
There's a lot.
Well, what I'm wondering here, and let me just kind of follow up on your point about it being stale. If Fair and Dupuis do come back, whose jobs do they take? And is one of them Sprong, who I don't think you could call slow or stale?
No, I wrote Sunday, Tim, that they need to play more of these kids. What was my one big criticism of this offseason, which I liked by Jim Rutherford, guys? What was it? Remember, I said they signed too many forwards. They didn't have opportunities for guys to come in and win jobs. they talk about playing young guys because they don't have any money under the cap to spend on defensemen that are any good, so they have to play all these young defensemen.
It's not just Sprong either. Like, for instance, Mata only had 13 minutes of ice time. It was not against, against Toronto.
I do think they are monitoring Mata early. I don't think they want to.
You think that's a workload thing more than anything?
There is not right now any person that cares about that hockey team, if you're a fan, or any person has any interest in seeing that hockey team be successful, that could make a convincing argument to me that you would rather have anybody who hasn't been in the lineup back ahead of Ryan Russ, ahead of Daniel Sprong, or ahead of Bobby Farnham.
Rossi, we will talk to you Wednesday. See you tomorrow night at the arena.
Appreciate it, guys. Yager watch. Mullet, baby.
He's got four goals already.
Yeah, he had a two-goal game. Is he 43? Going on 44, is that what he is?
There's 42 he's going ageless. On 43.
It is unbelievable. Just almost as unbelievable as 0 for 17 on the power play. I swear, the three of us, Mike
too.
And the security guard downstairs, could go out there 5-on-3 and beat somebody.
He's got a good shot. I don't know if
there's no puck movement. There's no confidence. There's no threat anywhere on the ice except Malkin just teeing away when he's at the point. Sometimes he's on the goal line. I can't defend Brick Tocchet anymore. This is on him. I mean, this is embarrassingly bad. It's going to cost them games, maybe the playoffs.
And the funny thing is there's a segment of Penguin fans out there that think that Johnston's going to get shit-canned and then Tocchet's going to take over. Why?
That didn't work so well before.
I like Rick, but he does not have the answer right now and hasn't for a year and a half, really. I don't know how they're this bad. How can you possibly be this bad with that talent on the power play?
And let's go back to that. When Fair comes back and Dupuis comes back,
yeah,
who's gone? Who loses ice time? Who loses minutes?
Kunitz should lose ice time, but I don't know if he will. Not with this coach. He's too afraid to do anything. There's no way they should keep trotting Kunitz out on the Crosby line. At least you got to try something different. I mean, just to spark them.
I'd like to see Sprong play up there.
Yeah.
You know, the one guy that's showing some life and that isn't stale, and the first thing out of their mouth is, well, he's still a junior player to me.
Yeah, junior player. You're a junior coach.
That's exactly right. You should be able to recognize one, pal.
SportsTalk at TribWeb.com. Ton of emails today. Great reaction. Go try to get to them all here by the 12:30 bell. We're brought to you by Duffy's Beer and by Relax the Back Solutions for Pain. Ken Laird, Guy Junker, Tim Benz. Four Horsemen Hour coming up. On the Steelers, Ben says, what kills defensive-minded coaches is... What kills defensive-minded coaches like Narduzzi is bad offensive coordinator hires, but I thought Narduzzi's pick of Jim Chaney, guys, is not just great, but he also brought in Peterman to play quarterback as well. Two great decisions by Pitt.
You know, I just want to follow up on something that Chris Peek had said before we came on the air today during his Pitt Panther show. I think the number he came up with, it was either 1970 or 1972. This is the first time since Johnny Majors in 70 or 72, whenever he started his first tenure, that a first-year pick coach has gotten the Panthers into the rankings in a season where they had not been ranked the year before.
Wow.
First time since Majors the first time around.
It's a great job all around. I agree with what Ben says. Chaney's done an excellent job.
And Peterman, he takes care of the ball for the most part. And
he hasn't turned it over
since
the Iowa game.
Did Vojtěch play at all Saturday?
They brought him in for one snap, and then they brought him in again and called a timeout before they changed their mind.
Did he throw a pick?
No.
He runs a little better. It's the one thing. You wonder if Chris stayed here, would Peterman have had a chance? That's the thing.
He wouldn't have come here.
That's true.
Because that's Chaney's guy from Tennessee. They brought in Vojtěch on a 3rd-and-3. And Holtz wasn't looking. They threw a pass to him. It could have gone for
8 yards.
Oh, that's
what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. It wasn't a pick, but I apologize. Yes, that's the play I'm thinking of.
But it was just, they weren't, it's a new dynamic. That change of pace didn't work at all. It's dumb. I don't know why they keep trying to do that. And thankfully, they quit doing that.
Yeah, you almost, as a player, you feel like this is so shoehorned and forced. It's worse of a look than if you just stood on the sidelines and didn't come in at all.
Yeah. Dan in Pittsburgh tweets, does Antonio Brown care more about winning his stats or selling his leggings and sunglasses? I'm starting to wonder.
He's hard to like right now. They're winning in spite of themselves, and all he worries about is himself. And
yeah, you have 52 guys that are fired up coming through the tunnel that they won two games in a row without Ben, and then there's Antonio Brown who's like morose in the corner because he didn't catch enough passes. It is weird. I don't know what you can do about it. You can't do anything about it, right? I mean, you could talk to him, but...
And again, you know, I'll say what was brought up, I think, after the San Diego game again, because I think what Guy said is correct. Peterson, it's not like Peterson was getting beaten like a drum.
Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, and Brown was open every time. There was a split there. There's a split with Verrett, too. There's been two games in a row now where he hasn't gotten separation to the point that he's open all the time.
Yeah, and you know what causes some of that, Tim? He's not getting the ball, and he's not making the effort to get open anymore.
That could be.
He's not throwing to me anyway. I'm not killing myself out here.
Well, that's a problem if that's truly happening. If the coaches see that, then you got to...
Yeah, I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying the personality traits that are coming out could very easily go into that. And this is a guy that does work hard. I'll give him that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, so that may not be true, but...
And how does that translate to something else in the ripple effect of the wide receiver core? Insofar as if he's working his butt off to get open on a play that he knows is probably not coming to him, but he's a decoy, or he's in essence running a pick, or he's running off a different cornerback for somebody else to get open... If he's got 8 and 120 already in the third quarter of a game, he'll probably do that gleefully and then let Martavis get a look or, you know, get Darius Hayward Bay open or something, right?
Yeah.
But if he's not gotten his 5 for 50 that he likes so much, he's probably not going to go as diligently on that route when he's known to be a decoy from the get-go.
I'm really excited for that Bengals game on November 1st. I think it's going to be a terrific game.
Unless they go out and lose to Kansas City, that'll take the luster off.
Well, but if Ben comes back for the game, that changes everything. Just the thought of seeing Ben back with Brown, get him back on and happy, plus Bryant's back. I mean, the line, we don't know. Villanueva could be an issue. But those are two good games at Heinz Field. Pitt, Carolina Thursday, and then the following Sunday.
Boy, has Heath Miller disappeared from this offense, huh? With the two backups in there. I don't know if this is just because he's been kept in to max protect more often, or just the look of the plays that have been drawn up. But there's an explosion.
Yeah, and boy, is he bitching about it, too.
Yes. There you go. Heath Miller's like, I'm not getting my touches. That was a big third down he caught, you know, with that little pop pass. I was looking for him on that play because I was like, where has he been all day? And sure enough, that was an easy throw for Landry. It was an easy first down, and the place exploded with Heath. It's like they've been sitting on it all day.
Yeah, Heath! Yeah.
Good point.
That was his only catch, right?
His only catch. He's had, what, one catch 2 weeks in a row?
One catch, 5 yards.
I think 3 weeks in a row.
Is that right?
I think he had one catch against Baltimore.
He's a problem in the locker room at Heath Miller.
Yeah. Divisive force.
Four Horsemen Hour next with Three Horsemen because Taylor's out yet again. No surprise. We're brought to you by Duffy's Beer.
I passed him up in picking pork, by the way, back in first place.
You are a machine in picking pork.
When you were winning, it's all we heard every when it took till noon.
I'm praising you now.
Bring it up.
Look,
all right.
You've been unbelievable. You were 19 and you're 18 and 10. You're now 22 and 11 against the spread.
Caboli is. I'm bad. It's just amazing that Caboli is still worse than I am.
Yeah, you and Mark have had a tough go of it. It's a long year.
It's weird. I mean, Mark's a former champ. It's weird how it goes some years.